Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Kansas City Chiefs, we go out to the Big Apple. Nate Taylor in New York over the weekend, or New Jersey, I guess, specifically. Nate, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. We appreciate it, man. It looked like you had maybe the family out there as well. Are you back? Or have you landed yet?
No, gentlemen. I am. I'm still here in the Big Apple. Like you said, I'm actually looking at my family right now. We're at the Walt Disney Studios here in Lower Manhattan. So, it's a great day. We fly back home later tonight. So it's been a good trip. My kids have done great.
Out of the, you know, how would you rank this win for the Chiefs, knowing it's a bad opponent who just benched their starting quarterback, but they did win by a comfortable margin at the end, but also had maybe one of the worst quarters of offensive football I've seen them play in 5 years. So where do you kind of rank this win for the Chiefs?
It was a must win. I know the guys didn't say that. They didn't want to sort of lean into that storyline, but it was a must win. So, hey, you won. And, I think even the bigger, sort of the better the news is, and Andy Reid told us this yesterday, you know, even though Brad Cook had an injury, like they came out, without any serious injury. You won the game without feeling like you needed, Xavier Worthy to be in the lineup, even if it was on a limited basis or, you know, a small snap count for him. So, the defense, I know this is not necessarily, you know, the biggest headline, but the defense has made incremental progress through these 3 weeks. And that's a very good sign considering how young they are, especially on the back end, right? You still have Brian Cook, who's your most experienced safety. You have Chamari Connor, who's played really well these last 2 weeks. They actually got turnovers, gentlemen. So, hey, what are you supposed to do against a bad football team? Dominate them. And the Chiefs dominated the Giants basically for 50 of the 60 minutes. We could sprinkle in some of those nonsense, you know, I don't know what's going on with Isaiah Pacheco. I don't think anybody does within the organization. But, hey, you won the game. I know they could have remind me, fellas, they could have potentially scored, as much as 26 points, I guess.
Yeah.
If Harrison Butker had made his extra point and his, you know, whatever it was, 40-yard field goal-ish. But, like, ultimately, it was a must-win. They got the win. And now they get to have this nice little three-game home stretch where they could actually say, hey, maybe we're, you know, a team that can get better throughout the course of the season. That's really all that matters now. And so getting a win is what's most important. And thankfully, they didn't have any major injuries considering what, you know, the turf at MetLife Stadium is, what its reputation is.
Were you surprised when Xavier Worthy didn't even make the trip and was ruled out? I know we talked last week and most people believed he was going to play. Was this, you know, they're just being really cautious? Was it, you know, I don't think they were in the position to, you know, sit a guy out that could have helped him win if they really wanted to, or am I way off on that? Because the Ravens only have 3 plays, I guess, of Xavier Worthy this season to look at. Maybe that's an advantage going into Sunday.
No, it definitely is an advantage. And yeah, I got the sense that this was all out of extra precaution, right? Could he have played Sunday against the Giants? Yes. You know, I know he was limited in practice all the last week, and hell, that might even be the case these upcoming days. But again, that's all just to sort of protect the player from himself, to give him as much time and as much health rest as he needs. You know, I don't know, you know, because of the shoulder, how much time you need for it to, like, sort of stabilize and find, you know, your strength again, and how are you going to protect yourself going down. I know some of the turf, because we just saw it with Tracy, right? I mean, Tracy dislocated his shoulder, you know, and part of that is because there is less give on that potential turf more than anywhere else in the NFL. So MetLife You know, you could have added that to the equation. But I think the Chiefs also realized too, like, hey, we've just got to win and get right with the guys we have right now, and then we can sort of add, you know, Xavier Worthy into the fold. Obviously, Rashee Rice is a couple weeks away as well. He'll be in the meetings, you know, as early as today, right? As early as today, in terms of getting the playbook, understanding where the offense is right now, based on what, you know, he saw in training camp and in the preseason. So yes, he could have played. The indication I got even on Saturday, even though he didn't make the trip, was he's fine. So hey, if you can borrow an extra 7 days, why wouldn't you? And guys, I mean, considering what we just saw last night, if Xavier Worthy gets one little area to blast through and show off his speed, the Ravens are a team that has struggled stopping explosive play. So having Worthy and Tyquan Thornton on the field together should be a nice combination for Patrick Mahomes.
I want to go back to the wide receivers here in just a minute, but you mentioned Harrison Butker. Financially, there's nothing to be done. Is he hurt?
Right. I saw your tweet on it.
Well, I mean, financially, there's nothing to be done, but like, is he hurt? He was terrible. He was not terrible. He was below average, a below average NFL kicker last year. 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, he was a below average NFL kicker. Over the last 5 years on aggregate, he's a below average NFL kicker, if we exclude the postseason. But the 2 years he was the worst, he missed three games because he was hurt. And now he seems off again this year, and he's dropping to a knee. Is he hurt?
This was the biggest concern when he had surgery towards the middle of last season, because even though he did all the right things, I think from a rehab standpoint, obviously he came back and did very well in the postseason. That's one of the best things about Harrison Butker is, like, you know, can you wake him up when it's January, February, and he won't miss? But because he had to go on down to a knee, and because he had the knee surgery, he's obviously dealt with, you know, some ankle injuries in the past. It's like, okay, well, you can clean up your technique, but what's going to happen when it's actually games, when it actually matters, when there's real juice, there's real consequences, whether this kick is a good or not? And we're starting to see that he's basically, you know, went back to his old form. And again, I don't know if that is sort of due to pain. I don't know if he's trying to manage his accuracy, but like not have as much power, because I think that's what he tried to do in training camp is, hey, how do I get my accuracy to be even more precise? If I have to sacrifice based on me getting older, you know, I might have less power in my legs. So I don't know what's going on, fellas.
Something's wrong.
I mean, the last thing I was going to say is these are makeable kicks, especially for him, especially given his reputation. I want to remind everybody, he's never been an all pro, even though his numbers suggest he should have been an all pro. He just lived in the era of Justin Tucker. So Justin Tucker's not in the league right now. Like, you're the highest paid kicker. Like, you should be the guy sort of taking that mantle of, hey, when my team needs 3 points, regardless of the situation, I'm going to make it. That's why it was so confounding for him to do a great job on the, you know, emergency drill. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's get it up right before halftime in Sao Paulo. And then his very next kick, he just blows it wide right. And you're like, wait, what's going on? So his accuracy concerns me, because that's what he worked on in training camp. And again, I don't know if he's hurt, but we're starting to see a residual effect of what has occurred over the last 2 years, which is why I think it's noticeable to ask that question, given this team needs every single point right now without Xavier Worthy and without Rashee Rice. He just compounds the issue of the offense. And that's one of the reasons why Travis Kelce kind of went crazy over at Andy Reid in the second quarter. It's because, hey, we just got our first turnover of the year. We're on the plus side of the field. We can't move the ball because, you know, the play stink. And oh, by the way, our kicker is struggling right now. He just missed a kick. So what did we just do for the last 7 minutes? I think that's ultimately my interpretation of what Travis Kelce was getting at Andy Reid. And part of that is because, hey man, we can't even trust this guy, or this guy, whether he's dealing with an injury or not, this guy's not as reliable as we need him to be, considering how much our offense is sputtering at times.
The sideline blow up, whatever you want to call it. You said it. I think we kind of know maybe what was going on there. I think a lot of people, including myself, we're happy to see Andy Reid kind of, you know, push back a little bit. At the same time, I don't think this is like a huge deal. I will only say Travis Kelce having it happen every single week is kind of, at this point, I think people are kind of done with seeing.
Well, he's the only guy, guys. I just want to make this very clear to the audience. He's the only guy that can do that. He's the only guy. And you know what? Andy Reid does not have a lieutenant worthy of doing that. That, I think, is one of the clear differences. Whenever we get to the discussion, and I thought about this Sunday night, whenever we get to the discussions of, like, is it EV, is it Nagy? Is it Nagy? Or is it Eric Bieniemy? Well, Eric Bieniemy was a guy who was willing to get up in you-know-who's grill. And most notably, he would always point out Travis, or he would always point out Patrick, and let that sort of filter down to the players. Well, that's not Matt Nagy's style. And I'm not saying that's right or wrong. It's just not. So where can Travis Kelce go to light a fuse to where he thinks, hey, I need to do something psychological? Well, the only guy he can go up to and do that to is Andy Reid. And he's the only player, maybe Patrick, but again, Patrick's more deferential, more reverential to Andy. Because Travis has been there the longest, and because there is no Eric Bieniemy to sort of have a tit-for-tat moment, because believe me, guys, they had several of those, if you remember, he knows, hey, I got to wake this guy up. And I don't know if that was truly necessary at the time, because, again, like, it should have been a 9-0 lead. Hey, Bucker misses a kick. It happens. But, hey, you're still moving well. But, again, my interpretation is, hey, this don't feel good. I don't think these play calls are great. How can I get my guys, like, going? Well, hey, I know who's got 51% of the vote. It's the head coach. You know what? I got to do it again. I'll do it again. I'll get up in his face, and maybe I need to wake him up, because it was just 3 weeks earlier where Andy Reid said, hey, I needed to wake my players up. I mean, partly due to the fact that, oh, no, here we go again with a, you know, freak accident injury between Travis Kelce and Xavier Worthy. So it has been a strange season, fellas. Of course, we all know Patrick Mahomes has led the team in rushing. We all know that they slept walk through the first half of Sao Paulo and then had an amazing second half. So, hey, give credit to Andy Reid for getting the offense to get back on track. But also, like, hey, man, this is a must-win game. And for whatever reason, but your star tight end is just like, I don't love this. I don't know where we're doing. What are we doing? Like, what's going on? And so now he pushes Andy. And then, of course, they come out in the second half, and they are an actual professional football team that matriculates the ball down the field for two touchdown drives. They could have had a third if Patrick hits Taekwon on that nice flare release, you know, on the short yardage play. It's a weird bunch, guys, but they also know, too, when you don't have the explosion, when you don't have the guy that can get you easy yards or break tackles, it's got to come down to, is the coaching right? Is the scheme right? Are the play calls being sequenced in a way that we know we have an advantage? Well, if Travis Kelce don't feel like that, then who is he going to talk to? The only man he can go talk to is Andy Reid.
Let me just ask you about, like, I guess, as it relates to the offense, because I'm going to, for just the purposes of giving them the benefit of the doubt, ignore the 4,000 times they said the same thing last year and just take it for the 3 times they have probably said it this year. Patrick and Andy continue to insist that this offense is close, that there are things that are, and again, I'm just going to ignore that they said that a bunch last year and it wasn't, and instead I'm going to focus on this year. Do you think there are parts of this offense that are close? That there are things that will work, especially once Worthy and Rice come in? Or is this just them saying that and buying time until we can actually see if it works with all the players in play?
I think it's probably the latter would be my guess. One of the funny things about last year is, you know, they were expecting so much out of Hollywood Brown. And then, of course, he got injured on literally the first snap of the preseason, right? So he didn't come back till December. And so I thought a lot of what they said last year was, hey, man, we're not going to have – at any point in the season, because of the Rasheed Rice knee injury, we're not going to have our 3 wide receivers. Well, that's kind of where the offense was entirely built on, and we kind of promised Travis, "Hey, man, we're not going to run you into the ground again." Sorry, bud. Hollywood got hurt. Rasheed got hurt. Please give us another. Like, you know, lead the team in receptions, lead the team in yards. Hey, stay healthy, obviously, and then like come find us in January, and then we'll put it all together. And actually, that is what happened. Like, the offense did really, really well around Christmas, because they got Hollywood back, because Kelce had managed himself through the season, and obviously Xavier Worthy grew so much in his rookie year. Well, now, it's part of it is like, okay, the offensive line, I do see improvement. I saw plenty from Kingsley Suamantaia to say, okay, this experiment is going. But now, what do you do with Juwan Taylor? Like, he's the one who's disrupting the offense more than anybody else on the offensive line now. Yeah, there's the one holding penalty from – you know, Josh Simmons, but that's going to happen. He's a rookie. He gets a lot of grace. But he and Kingsley have done really well in terms of run blocking. They did pretty well in the second half when the Chiefs made some adjustments to have a more quicker passing game. I don't know if it's going to reach its full potential because, again, like, how much longer are you going to give Juwan Taylor? Like, what's going on with his knee, basically? Because there were times where he got beat Sunday night, fellas, where I was just like, hey, man, that doesn't look like you. You're a really good pass blocker. Why are you getting overwhelmed basically at the snap of the football? So, again, will we ever see a snap of Hollywood Xavier receive?
Still waiting.
I don't know. So, I mean, they don't – like, if the Chiefs cannot run the ball successfully against a Baltimore Ravens defense that cannot stop the run, then I don't know. I don't think they're close. What they have is a really good schematic coach in Andy Reid who can sort of find ways and retinker things and adjust things and have, you know, curveballs and, you know, change-ups to the snap counts and everything that way. You have the best quarterback on earth. You still got a really talented tight end who has shown more athleticism. I know he wasn't involved much in Sunday night's game, but, hey, that allows Tyquan Thornton to have the best game of his career, right? So it was a pick your poison, and the Giants said, please let Tyquan Thornton beat us, and he did. So,
right.
I mean, I understand their viewpoints, but I'm not sure I completely trust it because there's just so many things that are weak on the offense right now that, boy, a lot would have to change before the trade deadline. And, again, how much are the Chiefs willing to be in the trade market? I don't know, guys, but keep looking at running backs. Keep watching the film because the blocking and the holes are there. It's just the running game and the right tackle play is probably the two biggest things that you should be concerned with in terms of whether or not it's actually going to get fixed.
We're talking to Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from ESPN. That first drive to open the second half was their best drive of the season. It looked completely different, not just because they had success, but they went under center a little bit. They did some misdirection. You know, Breshard Smith was in the game for a couple of the snaps as well. Do you think that they will look at that and we should just some of those elements they will be willing to go back to? Because that was when they were at their best. It was different than what I think they really want to do, but that was when they were at their best.
Yes, and I'm so glad you mentioned it because Patrick realizes now, I think, more so than when the season started. And this tells you how much things change in the NFL based on injuries, based on, hey, what we thought we were good at, look at the film, not true, guys. What they did in the second half was, okay, we have to be a balanced, spread them out offense that is capable of, again, doing a long drive zero down the field. Hey, we'll get you 5-6 yards out of pop. Hey, here's an occasional 10-yard play. You know, they now understand, again, even with Xavier Worthy, you know, expected to come back and play against the Ravens, this is not a one-man offense anymore. It's not like, hey, I'm the Minnesota Vikings quarterback and where the hell's 18? That's where every play starts, right? That's not the Chiefs' offense right now. So you have to use Tyquan Thornton. You have to use Breshard Smith. I really love the idea of them just, hey, Nico Remigio, run some jet sweep motions just to get the safeties and the linebackers to look somewhere, right? And maybe we'll give you the ball, maybe we won't. Hey, we gave him the ball, he got 10 yards. Congratulations. We have used you to your best abilities for this one play that helps us get down the field, and, oh, there's Juju Smith-Schuster on a slant. I don't know what they're going to do with Jalen Royals, but, hey, maybe Jalen Royals can be someone who can work within the intermediate area. You still have Tyquan, you still have Xavier over the top. You're going to have to use more screens. I thought that was a sort of an acknowledgement of weakness. Like, hey, we might need to throw a couple screen passes to Kareem Hunt because you know what? He's actually pretty good when you get him out in space and he can at least, you know, carry some defenders for 1 or 2 yards. They have to be a spread offense. They have to be a balanced attack. The more guys touch the ball, that includes Noah Gray, the more unpredictable they'll be and the more you trust your quarterback to make the right decisions on a down-to-down basis. He has one turnover this year, guys, and it ain't even his fault. So they could run this offense for another, again, 3 or 4 weeks before, hey, if Rashee Rice gets back to his top form, if he's coming off the suspension well, okay, maybe he's the focal point of the offense. But until then, they need to spread it out, trust everybody to do their job, and that will actually hold everybody more accountable because you need to rely on all 11 guys to move the ball down the field, regardless of the opponent.
Last thing from me, Nate. Percentage chance that Juwan Taylor is not the starting right tackle come Sunday? I mean, I'm saying Sunday. Let's just say this Sunday and then halfway through the season. Because at some point, for a team that claims accountability, I don't know how the most penalized player in the NFL who is actively costing you drives can continue to start at right tackle.
And not only is he the most penalized offensive lineman, I know people were making fun that NBC has a graphic for
him. Oh, I know, man. They had it ready to go.
I said, my God.
For what it's worth, he's not blocking well either. It's not even like the previous he was playing well.
Yeah, that's my point. He did not – Sunday was a bad game for him, blocking-wise, regardless of the penalties. And so, again, he had his knee scoped. He had a little procedure. You know, they always call him minor. They're not minor kids. he had a procedure in the offseason. He had to get his knee drained. But last year was a different circumstance because they had no one else. You know, it was like, hey, can Wanye do it? Well, I'm sorry, Wanye's playing left tackle now because Kingsley can't play left tackle. You paid this guy in free agency. I still think Andy, I know people don't want to hear this, I still think Andy wants to see one more game. I always say, guys, and you know this, give me 4 weeks. I know it's so hard. Give me 4 weeks of a season. 4 weeks is a decent enough sample size before you might actually want to start making changes, or what teams do, you know, post a bye week when it's like, okay, we have 6 or 7 games on tape. We actually know for sure now, based on the 6 and 7 opponents we've seen, we not good at this. So, hey, the Ravens didn't get a sack last night, fellas. Didn't get a sack. Didn't sack Jared Goff, who cannot move. So, I know fans are like, I want to see Jalen Moore. I think Andy probably gives them another week, or it might be a situation like what teams do with the quarterback often is, hey, give us the bye week. I know that's a little farther away than now, but they paid a lot of money for Jalen Moore. I know, but if they made the change, I would be surprised, because I just know traditionally how Andy has sort of operated with these things.
But I've watched him, Nate. Like, we were talking about LeSean McCoy earlier with fumbling problems. Like, I've watched him put players on the bench eventually who are actively costing them games. I'm not sure why Juwan has been more immune to it than others. And again, last year, to your point, what choice did they have, right?
There was no option
but to stick with Juwan Taylor. So he got way more than a normal amount of games, I would say, for a guy struggling as much as he was. This year, it's like, you invested in it. I think Simmons, especially in isolation, has been excellent. I think Kingsley's been better than I was anticipating. So, like, Juwan's the odd man out. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah, Kingsley has the tools, and we are now realizing that. It's just something that, like, Trey Smith went through in his first year. Obviously, Trey Smith was an All-American. But, like, you have the tools. You have the athleticism. Now it's about technique, consistency on a down-and-out basis. As you get more defensive fronts, as you see more defensive linemen, right? Josh Simmons, you couldn't have asked for a better start from a rookie left tackle coming off a knee injury, right? That ended his college career. So he's played excellent. Here we go with Juwan. Okay, Juwan, well, when you do start on time, or when the refs let you get one or two, you're pretty good at just, hey, stabilizing the right side. That allows Mahomes to scramble, maneuver within the pocket, hey, maybe extend plays. Well, there were plays where he couldn't get to his drop on Sunday because Juwan got beat faster than we've really ever seen him in a Chiefs uniform. So, again, I don't know if that's injury-related. I don't know if that's to deal with the same knee injury he had last year, or if it's just one bad performance on top of, you know, penalties that this offense cannot overcome. The issue I have is he is a veteran. He's done it before. Yeah. It's just 3 games. I just want to remind people, it's just 3 games. And what decision you make in terms of moving him away doesn't necessarily mean you're going to go back to that player in, like, November. So if you make this change, you're making it for the rest of the season. And I think that's something that people have to understand. It's like the coaching staff knows what it looks like at practice. They watch the practice. They watch the film. Jalen Moore, as I like to remind people, has never played right tackle in the NFL on a regular basis. He always was the backup left tackle to Trent Williams. So that would be a new sort of role, a new situation for him, even though we all know he's talented and capable and got all of the training camp and preseason reps he could in case of such a scenario. But if you make this change now, it's not like you can go back to Juwan Taylor and say, oh, by the way, we're playing the Bills now. You ready to get back in there? I don't know if that's a decision that they can make to where you want to be flip-floppy or you want to be sort of even more inconsistent when an offensive line needs to gel over the course of the season.
Nate, safe travels back, man, from the Big Apple. We'll see you in studio next week. I'll see you out on Arrowhead on Sunday.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.